Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We've been journeying through the Gospel of Matthew, a very selfless autobiography of Matthew's account of dealing with Jesus in ministry for 3 years. We have seen that he doesn't use the word I, and that his portrayal of the disciples is not always real glorifying, shall we say. Instead, we see them lacking faith, falling short in spite of their desires to do what was right, and we ended last week with them being scared in a boat and Peter starting to sink in the water. We also hear in Matthew's gospel a sense of immediacy to ministry. He actually uses that word immediately, multiple times, and instantly, multiple times. Giving that feeling that when Jesus is in ministry, he's not standing around. He's moving. It's always moving. And finally, Matthew definitely makes it very clear the supremacy of Christ. Unlike his disciples, Jesus does feed the 5,000. Jesus does walk on the water. Jesus does pull Peter up out of the water. He makes the storm to stop, and he immediately has the boat in port. And that is where the gospel reading for today picks up. Let's just lay a little bit of groundwork. When he got into port in Gennesaret, which is the southwest shore of the Sea of Galilee, just a couple miles south of Capernaum, we read that the Pharisees and scribes from Jerusalem were there, and they confronted Jesus. Now, a lot of times we don't understand exactly who these Pharisees or scribes were. Pharisees were the teachers of the law. They were the experts in rabbinical law. We would call that the Mishnah today. It's the traditions that the rabbis came up with based on Scripture, but they are not traditions found in Scripture itself. You see, that's where the scribes would come in. The scribes were also experts in the law, but they were experts in the Torah. They were experts in the first five books of the Bible, especially as we look at Exodus and the Ten Commandments, and then the following ceremonial law. And it's worth noting they came from Jerusalem. In other words, this is an official inquiry from the temple headquarters. It would be much like being called before Congress today. Here's their question. Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat. Now, just hearing that, you should know who asked the question. It's dealing with tradition. It was the Pharisees who were asking this question. And Jesus comes back with a question for them. We've talked about this before. This was called rabbinical teaching. You keep asking questions until you get to the point that no more questions can be asked. The last question would obviously lead you to truth. So he comes back with a question. Why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? There we have it again. The washing of hands was a rabbinical tradition. But it's not found in Scripture other than looking at Leviticus 22, verse 6. The priests were to wash their hands before any of the holy offerings. So Jesus asks, why are you breaking the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? But then he continues on and he gives the basis for his question. For God commanded, honor your father and mother, fourth commandment from the Ten Commandments, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. That's from Leviticus 20, verse 9. And he then continues on. But, it's the giant eraser, but you say, notice this isn't God, this is your tradition, you say, and I quote, if anyone tells his father or mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God. The Hebrew term for given to God is korban, and the Gospel of Mark records that that's exactly what Jesus said. And what he is referring to is a rabbinical tradition that the Pharisees supported, that if a child, grown child, on his own, working, has a family, if mom and dad got to the point where they needed some help, gotten past the working age, they can't work the farm anymore, there's no income coming in, and they need food, that if they ask the son for help, he can say to them, no, I can't help you. I've taken a vow, and I've taken what I would use to help you, and I'm giving it to God. I'm giving it to the temple. They base this on Psalm 116 that we had last week, where the psalmist says, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits? The second thing was, I will fulfill my vows. And so the rabbi said, if you designate the money to the temple, then you don't have to give it to your parents. But you need to make sure that you fulfill the law, that you fulfill your vow. And so they could keep their money for the time being and use it, but, oh boy, would they be reminded by those Pharisees. Now remember, you vowed that to the temple, so you need to cut that check here sometime. And so then Jesus continues and says, so for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. In other words, when the commandments say, honor your father and mother, it is show respect for them, it is care for them, it is love them. And before those Pharisees can try to come back with some sort of an argument which would pit them against the scribes, because everything Jesus has said is straight out of the Old Testament, he points out to both the scribes and the Pharisees that they're hypocrites. He says, you hypocrites. And then he goes to the book of Isaiah. Well did the prophet write of you, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Pharisees didn't answer a word. Scribes didn't answer a word. He had them painted into a box, and they knew it. What they were doing was wrong. The Pharisees, they'd rewritten God's word. The scribes had not challenged. After this, the disciples say to Jesus, and boy, does this sound like today, do you know that the Pharisees were offended? And Jesus' response to that is, they are blind guides. If blind lead the blind, both will fall into the pit. And this brings us to the sermon title, The Heart Condition. I think all of you have probably heard of atherosclerosis. It's the blockage of the arteries, the veins in our heart. It comes from cholesterol. But you see, they had a blocked heart. And it was their tradition that was like the cholesterol. It was blocking the flow of God's word in their heart. It was blocking the working of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus then addresses what they were saying about the washing of hands and eating of food. He says, it's not what goes in the mouth that makes a person unclean. Rather, it's what comes out of the mouth, because what comes out of the mouth originates here, the heart. And Jeremiah 17:9 tells us the heart is deceitful above all things. And what does Jesus say is in the heart and leads to what comes out of our mouths? He says, evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and disregard for God's word, which everything he had just listed before is a disregard of the Ten Commandments. And at the same time, it's truly a call for Bible study, because unless you know what the scripture says, you can be led astray by blind guides. But what comes from a heart that doesn't have spiritual blockage, that has been washed and renewed by the Holy Spirit? Well, that's where the gospel picks up. Jesus leaves Gennesaret. He takes his disciples to Tyre and Sidon, which is on the western shoreline of Israel, or what is today Lebanon. But at that time also, it wasn't Israel. It was Gentile territory. And so we read that a Canaanite woman comes to Jesus. Now, just right there, that word Canaanite, for those of you who have done Old Testament Bible study, well, that should ring some bells and some alarms should go off. It was in Deuteronomy 20, verse 7, that God told Joshua and the children of Israel, when they went into the promised land, which was called Canaan, they were to destroy the Canaanites because they were idol worshipers and they would lead the children of Israel astray. So this woman is a descendant of these idol worshipers that were supposed to not even exist anymore. But the Israelites didn't do what God said. She comes to Jesus and she says, have mercy on me. Mercy, not getting what you deserve. It's a loaded statement she makes. She's basically saying, don't give me what I deserve. She knew she was a Canaanite, a Gentile. She knew she was a sinner. And she says, oh Lord, Son of David. She knew scripture. She knew the prophecy concerning the Messiah. He'd be from the lineage of David. Her daughter was severely oppressed by a demon. And we read, he did not answer her a word. Instead, it was the disciples who, quote, begged Jesus, send her away, for she's crying out after us. She's the nuisance. She's a Canaanite. And Jesus' response was, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And the woman hears this, and she came and knelt before Jesus, kneeling. That's showing total submission. It's showing worship. And she says again, Lord, help me. Almost the exact same words of Peter just a day or two before at the Sea of Galilee. And now Jesus addresses her directly and says, it is not right to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. Boy, can you imagine saying that to someone today? Calling them a dog? You know, go to a Black Lives Matter rally or an Antifa rally or a Make America Great Again rally and call the people at those places dogs, you're going to have a fight on your hands. We don't like to be called dogs. But in the first century, dogs were really considered bad and dirty. And does she take offense, which everybody today would? No. She recognizes that's what she is. She's a Canaanite. She's a sinner. Instead, she says, yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. There was no blockage in her heart. She knew Jesus is the Lord. She knew he could do this. And she had faith. Because then Jesus says, woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And here we have Matthew in true form, and her daughter was healed instantly. So what do we learn from this? We go to Romans 10:17. Paul writes, faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of God. This woman had heard scripture. She knew that the Messiah was going to be of the lineage of David, that he would be Lord and master over everything. And because she had heard that, she knew. She knew what to do. You see, it's God's word that is like the statin drugs of today. I have to take lovastatin so that my arteries stay clear. God's word is our spiritual lovastatin or Crestor or whatever you might be taking. It's what the psalmist says is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It's what opens our hearts to faith. And when our heart is filled with the Spirit and He is working faith in our hearts, then what comes out of our heart is totally different. It is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is what comes out of a heart that's been washed and renewed. It's what we see in King David when he was confronted in his sin. Did he try to make excuses? Did he point the fingers? Was he offended by the prophet who came to him? No. His response was, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit. May we all look to God's word to know what it says in these trying times. And may that word clear out our spiritual hearts of any cholesterol, spiritual cholesterol, and replace it with the fruits of the Spirit. In our Savior's name, amen. Again, Gene will play the introduction to Christ the Eternal Lord, our closing hymn. I thank you for joining us and receive now God's blessings. May the Lord God bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.